Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN from the Allstate Showcase Studio. We're going to talk about We the People. It's a really compelling story. It started with our guest Ken Foss from Mount Morris, who wanted to do a music store, and you were going through a warehouse, and you came across some stuff. Pick up the story.
Some really cool stuff. We actually started cleaning the warehouse out and had actually stumbled across a bunch of old crates. You know, the crates looked very, very old, and started opening them up. And to our surprise, here we find printing plates and negatives and positives of the Constitution and Declaration.
And how old were these? And these were from a lithographer named Theodore Oman. So give us a little background on who he was and about these plates.
In our research, we found out that the lithographer that this work belonged to was dated back to the early 30s and 40s. And he was a lithograph printer. And he had actually reproduced the Declaration first. It was a printing plate, a big steel printing plate, and the work that he done was actually from a photograph that was taken in 1903 and from one of the copies of the Declaration of Independence that was done in the early 1900s.
And what did you think when you saw this stuff?
We weren't really for sure what we had until we started doing the research.
Yeah.
And just really blew our mind. Just, you know, we started calling people and trying to get, you know.
You had to make sure it was authentic and what it was.
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely.
And you called, what was it, a guy from American Roadshow?
The Antique Roadshow.
Antique Roadshow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He had worked for them for many years and came out and looked at the stuff and couldn't believe what he had seen because he had never seen anything like this before. And he actually started doing research right there in the warehouse to try and find out the authentication of what we had and what it was worth.
And how long ago was this when you found all this?
I believe it was 2011.
And then what'd you do with it? I mean, you find it, and then I know I've talked to you before. I mean, you researched the family to see if anybody was still around in the Oman family. Mr. Oman passed away.
That's correct.
Yeah. Kids are gone.
That is correct. Yeah.
So what'd you do with it?
Well, we still have it. There is... here just recently when you were out and we had laid out some of the printing plates and some positive and negatives of the Constitution. And we have actually taken them to different places and put them on display for public viewing. And they're very amazing. It's just something that you don't normally see on a daily basis.
And you're selling them now.
We're not selling the stuff that we found.
Right, exactly.
What we did was the process in which Theodore Oman did this was very old technology. And what I did was I had contacted a gentleman in the city. And
which city?
In Chicago.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Oregon.
No. And what we're doing is we are actually going to reproduce what we're going to pick up where Theodore Oman left off
right. With
today's technology. And that's exactly what we're doing.
And you have a website?
It is wethepeopleprints.com.
26x40 reproduction prints on parchment for each one.
That is correct.
$99 each. Shipping is free.
Yes.
At wethepeopleprints.com.
That is correct.
All right. Deanne Mazzocchi.
Yes.
First time I've met you. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me here, David.
And you're from the suburbs of Chicago.
I am. I am a girl who was born and raised in DuPage County.
DuPage County. So how did you come into this story?
So I came into this story because... I was introduced to Mr. Foss's idea of wethepeopleprints.com and these amazing historical artifacts. And the question was, how do we take Theodore Ullman's vision of trying to have a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution as close to the originals as if you were seeing the originals, get those into the hands of every school in the nation? That was his original goal.
That was his goal, right.
And the great thing about today is that with modern printing technology, whereas... back in the 1930s, it would have been cost prohibitive to do that. I'm here so that to help Ken try to sell these prints so that we can actually fund the ability to get a copy of these Ullman Constitutions and Declarations. We'll start locally in every school here in Chicago and Illinois, and then hopefully we can expand even further.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Like I said, you should send one to the current occupant of the White House. I think it'd be good for him to read up on this stuff. How's it been going so far? You said a local school has got some.
Yes, there has been a lot of people that has purchased these and actually donated them to schools. Just this last week, we had a couple come into my restaurant and purchase one and donate it to Oregon High School.
You know, I was making a joke, but the time is right for this. I was thinking we can't do it, but I would just here on Michigan Avenue, just stop and ask people, what does the Constitution say? What does the Constitution mean? Both of you guys, how does that register with people these days? I mean, do they really know about it? Well, it's almost like re-educating.
Well, you know, it's really fascinating, particularly for these Ullman copies. Some of the plates that are in existence, they have logos on them from Coca-Cola, from various
right.
bakeries. And what's fascinating to me about them is that in the early 1900s, in around the time when when these presses were going on, there was a furious constitutional debate as to the scope of and the nature and scope of which states could regulate commerce and particularly local businesses. So some of the prints that Ken has have logos for bakeries on them. And you would think, why on earth is a bakery trying to distribute all of these copies of the Constitution? It's precisely because the bakeries were concerned that the courts were basically allowing the states to really regulate them and in some instances regulate their livelihoods out of existence. So they basically wanted people to see, look, you need to see the Constitution. Look what these courts are doing.
It's really interesting.
It's an unfortunate fact that the bakeries lost.
Uh-huh.
And that's led to the very expansive reading of the Commerce Clause that led to, for example, the Affordable Care Act being upheld by the Supreme Court, et cetera. But I think that it's a fascinating part of our history, and particularly now when people really are starting to say, what are the rights of our government? What are
exactly.
the powers of our government? To be able to go back and really look at it and think about it. What are the founding principles that are set forth in writing here that we're all supposed to be bound by and our courts and our government are supposed to be bound by? To have these types of documents that are as true to life to the originals as you can get today through a digital copy that's easy and less expensive to reproduce, I think that's just a fantastic opportunity for everyone to have.
And they're really nice. I mean, they're on parchment. I mean, they're really, really nice paper.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, where does all that get done? I think Kevin told me. Where do they print them up? In Addison, right?
Addison,
yeah.
Illinois.
Yeah, right, in Addison. Thank you, Kevin Fitzpatrick.
You're
I'm glad you're in the studio here.
The printer goes by the name of Smokey, so read into that
what
you will.
So, Ken... Why did you stick with this? I mean, why didn't you go to eBay or just get rid of this stuff? And why did you make a commitment to this and not do the music store?
Well, the music store ended up being a church, and
where was that at?
Well, after being built and all the instruments and everything were in there, there was a church that had come by and wanted the facility.
What town was this?
This was in Kingston.
Oh, Kingston. Okay.
Yes, and they wanted the facility to have services in. So being a Christian man, I felt the need to go ahead and, turn that over to the church and let the church, have that facility. But it was just all of the stuff that we found was so overwhelming. And when you start doing the research and find out the history behind this and find out what his motive was, no one else ever picked it up and went with it. The constitutions that we found, we found roughly about 10,000 copies of the Constitution.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Of 1953. And we have no idea. The only thing we can think is maybe he got sick and passed away, and those never got circulated.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
I've really, really been working on this, and I think he would be proud to know that someone is picking up where he left off, and with today's technology, we can really go somewhere with this.
And I want to point this out. He was a native of Czechoslovakia, and he came here as a little boy, right?
That is correct.
And he was proud of his immigration. He was proud, he was really struck by the United States, and this is what you told me through my research. As a grown man, he visited the Library of Congress to see the original Constitution and Declaration. He saw them in they were kind of beat up, right? They were
that's
in
correct.
Tattered condition, obviously, and that's why he wanted to kind of reproduce them and spread them across America.
Yes, that's correct.
It really is a great American story.
It is.
And tell us about your cafe there. And I'm curious, the reason I'm going there is, do people come in and ask you about this? Are you known around Mount? What's the population of Mount Morris?
About 3,000.
About 3,000. Yep, so does everybody in town know about this?
I don't know about everybody in town, but I have a really nice display. I have met some very famous people in this journey. It has taken me to national TV in New York City. And
but not WGN till tonight.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But there's a beautiful display, and people can read the stories. There's a whole wall there and of history and everything on this, and it's really fascinating.
Okay, we're going to take a break from some for commercials. Don't go away, and we're going to come back with the Bootleg Flyers, who came all the way in from Mount Morris. They're going to play some music after this on WGN. How about that? Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. That's Kevin Remery. Is that, am I saying it right? And he's a member of the Bootleg Flyers from Mount Morris. That's our little tribute to We the People and the Summer of Love. Yeah, 50 years ago for that, too. So We the People, we're talking about this discovery. You, Deanne Mazzocchi?
Yes.
You can recite the preamble to the Constitution.
I can indeed.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, let's.
All right, now, if I mess up one word, don't knock me on the head for that.
Are you doing this by memory?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice and ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, secure the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
My goodness. Wow. I could not do that. Very good. Very good. So you're really invested in this.
I am. Yeah. I think that it's fascinating to me. I so respect what Ken has done so far in, you know, building on the work of what Theodore Ullman did and what Theodore Ullman was really trying to do to secure the blessings of liberty for our posterity in terms of how he was trying to preserve these prints so that they could be passed on, you know, to everyone in the United States.
You were telling me during the break, what was his process like? What have you learned about Ullman's process?
So for the Declaration of Independence, because he, you know, when he saw it, it was about, you know, it was all under seal, right? So what he did is because he wanted people to be able to see it and experience it as it had actually existed and been read at the time it was prepared, he found the printing plate for the Declaration of Independence, that, you know, what was the last authorized version of that. He got what was the last true-to-life photograph that was taken of the Declaration of Independence before it went under glass and under seal by the National Archives. And he combined those using his printing experience into the most photorealistic version of it. So in the version that Ken found, you can actually see some of the depth of the parchment and the wrinkles as it was appearing over time. So, you know, by doing that, he really wanted to give the person who saw it almost the experience of seeing the Declaration of Independence.
Now, I didn't know this. I met you tonight. You're a chemist by training?
I am.
You're a chemist?
Yes.
Did any of that discipline, did any of that come into this? I mean, is there a way you look at things because you're a chemist?
Maybe because I'm a scientist,
yeah.
And a lawyer. So so that's a scary combination, right? but no, I think for me, you know, just understanding the analytical things of how everything came together, why he was doing it, how these things could work. But no, my chemistry training for the most part is actually pharmaceutical synthesis. So
is it really? Yeah, is it really? Is it really?
I wasn't looking at the ink or anything like that.
So I want you to plug the website again, but tell us where Mount Morris, I was never at Mount Morris till I went a couple weeks ago. Tell us where it is, a little bit about the community.
Mount Morris is about an hour and 45 minutes straight west of here on Route 64, which I believe is North Avenue.
North Avenue.
And it'll take you all the way to the Mississippi River. And the website is wethepeopleprince.com. And we've got all kinds of really cool stuff. We've got pictures of some of the old crates that we found on there. You can go to the gallery and look at some of the printing plates, the negatives and positives. There's really some amazing pictures on there.
Now, in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about some of the music and some of the stuff that goes on there in the summer. But you also, besides the McKendree Street Cafe, which is on Evergreen Drive, that's why I got lost. Explain that just for anybody who wants to come out and see you.
Well, they built a new subdivision, yeah. And the road that goes along the side of the cafe now is Evergreen, so they readdressed the McKendree Street Cafe.
So will you ever change the name of your cafe?
No.
Okay. But you also do, now I did not go there, you also do the Below Zero Ice Cream and Smoothie Shop. And it's
yes.
Kind of down the downtown area.
On Wednesdays and Fridays in Mount Morris, we have live entertainment. It's free downtown in the band shell. And I have a place right across from the Bandshell. It's called Below Zero, and we take a lot of the sandwiches and ice cream and cotton candy and snacks to Below Zero, and we are open during the festivals, the entertainment there on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Is that where the Mount Morris Jamboree takes place?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And we'll get to that after the news and stuff. So is it a patriotic town? Again, I've never been. I've been to Oregon. I've never been to Mount Morris. And you see that sign when you come into town about the freedom, let freedom ring and stuff?
Yes. Yeah, they have a bell there. I'm not for sure the history behind that. It's a let freedom ring bell.
That would be the official Illinois. That would be the official Illinois State Freedom Bell, Ken.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's Larry Oven.
Jumping into
the bootleg flag.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate
March.
It.
Larry's keeping us all on track.
Yeah.
Yes, that is the official Illinois State Freedom Bell, dedicated by Ronald Reagan way back when. Actually, there are two of them. The smaller bell was dedicated by Ronald Reagan. The larger bell now exists just to the north of the band shell.
So there's
the
two bells.
Quad. Correct, sir.
Two bells downtown.
Yeah,
okay.
Really nice memorial fountain made up of rocks from every state in the Union.
And you're the executive director, Larry, of the Mount Morris Jamboree, right?
That is correct,
so,
Dave.
So that runs all summer, right?
It does. This year from June 2nd to September 8th, every Friday. Free music from 7 to 9.
Every Friday.
Indeed.
And what happens on Wednesday, Ken?
That is a cable news band.
Oh, the cable, yeah.
Yes.
And we should, now this I know, cable news is named after the printing history of Mount Morris.
Yes.
Cable printers.
That is correct.
K-A-B-L-E, yeah. So, I mean, before we break, you've got some interesting bands coming in this summer on Friday night. I mean, Dave Weld and the Imperial
bands.
Flames, I know. They're August 28th.
Yep.
July 28th, I'm sorry.
Sure. Lizzie Neal Band opens the whole thing up. They're members of the Rockford Area Music Industries Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so to speak, as it were. The Blues Hall of Fame in the blues category. Kevin and I are in the Blues Hawks as well, and we're in that Hall of Fame. And local band Pablo and the Rhythmics from Byron. All sorts of music, dance hits from the 50s all the way to
today. Now, wait a minute. Ken, you're from Byron, right?
Yes, I live in Byron.
I've never been to Byron. How far is Byron from Mount Morris?
About 20 minutes.
Okay, 20 minutes. Okay. So Pablo and the Rhythmics, Blue Guy. So Bootleg Flyers, are they playing?
Bootleg Flyers comes in on September
1st. Oh, yeah, there you are.
The Hometown Boys. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend.
Right, that would be us.
Okay.
We have a sub-drummer with us today, Terry Wheel.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you guys met before?
Do you know Ken?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, of course. He's right across the street when I'm running concerts. I'm up there emceeing the
show.
Yeah,
shows, so you
Dave.
Know each other very
yes.
well.
Yes,
yeah.
we do.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next, Ken? I mean, what are you going to do with this? How do you guys plan to continue to make this grow?
Well, you know, we're. I mean, this is obviously a first start. To me, the more we can get the word out, basically, when people like you help us to talk about what's available at wethepeopleprince.com, we get spikes in sales, and people, and the more that people buy the product, then the more we can donate to schools, and we give people the option to donate it to their local schools, so we can continue to follow up on Theodore Ullman's dream of making sure that everyone has a copy.
Very good. And on the Nocturnal Journal Facebook page, which we don't plug enough here, there's some video. And on your website, there's some really nice video we shot out there. Really, really excellent. So, okay, we're going to take a break for some news, and we're going to come back with some more live music from the Bootleg Flyer. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal.
Together we'll stand, divided we'll fall. Come on now, people, let's get on the ball and work together. Come on, come on, let's work together, everybody. Because together we will stand, every boy, girl, woman, and a man. People, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, and the road you travel, it stays all up. Yeah, let's work together. Come on, come on, let's work together. Now, now, people, because together we will stand, every boy, girl, woman, and a man. Oh, well, now 2 or 3 minutes, 2 or 3 hours, what does it matter now? And this type of us says we're together. Come on, come on, let's work together. Now, now, people, you know together we will stand.
Welcome back to the Allstate Studio and Nocturnal Journal on WGN. And that's the Bootleg Flyers from Mount Morris, Illinois. That's a Canned Heat song, right? I remember that song, Larry.
It is Canned Heat, Dave.
Yeah. That would be another store for you to open, Ken. You could do Blow Zero and Canned Heat.
Makes good sense. Yeah. I like that idea, Dave.
Just don't put it on Evergreen Street.
Yeah, right. So, Bootleg Flyers. I'm a little curious about the history. I know one of your members a little bit.
Right on.
Tell us how the Bootleg Flyers came together, Larry.
Well, you know, Kevin and I started playing together way back in 1983, Dave.
Kevin the guitarist.
Correct, right? Sir. Who you heard do the nice solo Star Spangled Banner earlier on. And, actually, I showed him a few things on guitar, and he showed me an awful lot since then. We formed a band called the Nuclear Mushrooms. And on down the line, come about 2011, It turned into...
What kind of music did the Nuclear Mushrooms play?
The very best. Yeah. Much like exactly what you heard today. Yeah, you know, some Beatles, some Cream, some Chuck Berry. I don't know what else we did, Kevin, but a lot of good stuff, rest assured. Yeah. Badfinger. Could I forget Baby Blue? Yeah.
Oh, Baby Blue. That's a good
indeed. Yeah. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. So that's what the Shrooms did. A lot of good instrumentals, too. Oh, it was a rocking band. Only 2 gigs, but boy, they were great. At any rate, and so we moved through many different bands.
Was this all in Mount Morris?
It was, all Mount Morris players.
So there's
players.
A scene in Mount Morris.
Very much a scene, yes. And that's the main reason.
Well, where do you guys play? I've been to Mount Morris. I mean, do you play Rockford? I mean, what?
Oh, sure.
It?
Yeah. Rockford, Dixon. Where'd we play last? Maringo.
Yeah.
So we get around. But no, there's 2 bars in town that feature live music on a very regular basis besides the band shell. And music's being brought in all the time.
Is it really?
Yeah, absolutely. The church has sponsored gigs down where Ken has his shop. It's the Pinecrest Grove Community Center. So there's a huge auditorium.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
PAG puts on performances there on a regular basis, and they have live music. So
I want to tell the listeners, actually, this is the question I had when I went out there. If I come out for some of these, and I want to talk about some of the events you got coming up this summer, but are there hotels? Where do you stay if I want to have a few beers and don't want to drive home?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jeff grew up, our bass player today.
Jeff Elbel.
Yes, indeed.
Am I pronouncing it?
Yes, closer than most.
Yeah.
Thank you.
At the Cable Brothers Mansion. That is now also the Cable Inn and the Mount Morris.
Now, where's that at?
That's up nestled in Sunset Golf Course.
Jeff? Sunset Hill, right in the middle of the golf course.
What's your connection with that?
My family moved into one half of the erstwhile Cable Mansion when we relocated there in 1979. And so it's too large for one family. And since then, it's been built up as a commercial property. And that's a good place to stay if you're in town.
Really?
And
really?
It's easy to spot. It's on the only elevated place in Mount Morris, Illinois.
Really?
The only mountain.
Jeff, now I know when they sent me the names, I knew your name. I didn't know it was the same Jeff. So, Jeff, tell us what you do. You write a little bit for the Sun-Times.
That's right. We're colleagues.
Well, we were.
That's right.
I'm doing this now, Jeff.
I've not risen to the level.
Go ahead.
I haven't risen to the level of colleague that of your esteemed status. Yeah. But I'm still a freelancer for the Sun-Times. I write a weekly concert feature. I'm the luckiest freelancer in the world because I generally get to call my own shots and write about great bands that I want to go see or hear. And it's been a lot of fun. I've been doing that since very early 2005.
And had you been writing for somebody before that? I mean, what's your journalism background?
I started writing about music when I was an undergrad and had no clue. Uh-huh. And a funny thing, my last feature was on Midnight Oil.
Oh, really?
They just headlined and sold out the Vic on Thursday. Yeah. My very first interview was in 1986 with Peter Garrett, and it was cold study. I had no journalistic training at all. I'm an engineer by training.
Are you really? Yeah. Are you really? You're a Beatles fan, right?
Yes, I am.
Sergeant Pepper. Does the writing and the stuff you do in music journalism, how does that inform what you do here? Are they just two separate things?
It all feeds the same love. You know, the music feeds the soul. It's what keeps me moving. It's a lot more fun than some of the engineering pursuits, let's say.
I don't want to forget the drummer, Terry Weil. Terry, you want to come and share my microphone? Because I want to ask all you guys, did you all grow up there?
Yes.
Did you all? What was it like? I mean, tell me about what I know about the printing background on Mount Morris, but what was the economic engine? What was the gear? Did people go to Oregon? Did people go to Chicago? Did people go to Aurora? Tell me.
No. Mount Morris had its own economic engine. As a matter of fact, it has the distinction of, along with Hershey, Pennsylvania, being essentially the only town that was untouched by the Great Depression.
Yeah, I heard that when I was there.
Yeah, absolutely, because the printing industry was so extensive. So it was a hustle and bustling community when Jeff and Kevin and I grew up there. Well, Kevin came a little bit later, but it's always been a hop in town. And music and art and education have been central to that place from the inception.
Yeah.
Within 6 years after its founding, back in 1845, there was already a community band brought together. And then the Cable Brothers Band has been in existence, known as the Cable Concert Band now, for 120 years. Running this year.
But that community band, that was my first professional music gig under director Warren Reckmeyer. I got $5 to play in the summer concert band per week. Absolutely.
There you go. And Mr. Reckmeyer holds the distinction of being the longest director at, I believe, 51 or 52 years. Just retired a couple years back, and he's still cooking. That man studied under Blue Lou Marini. Did you know that one?
Oh, really?
He did.
That's a great fact.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much I want to talk about. We got to take a break for some spots. We're going to come back with some more music. But I want to talk about some of the upcoming events this summer. I'm really excited.
A lot of great stuff coming to town.
I want to talk about
days.
Porch Fest. So
indeed.
Listeners don't want to miss that.
So don't go
away on Nocturnal Journal. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. That's the sound of the Bootleg Flyers. Thanks for coming all the way in from, most of you, all from Mount Morris. Maybe Jeff, did you come in from Mount Morris?
Jeff lives in Wheaton. Okay. Yeah, but the rest of us hail from the mountain.
So, and that is Larry Oven.
That's
on
me.
Vocals there.
Kevin Remery.
Yeah, Kevin Remery. Jeff Double on bass and Terry Weil on drums.
That's
and you'll
correct.
Be playing at the, is it called the Mount Morris Jamboree?
It is called the Mount Morris Jamboree.
9-1, September 1st.
September 1st. As I said, every Friday from June 2nd through September 8th, from 7 to 9, the concert plays. From 4 to 7, the Mount Morris Community Farmers Market is up and running. Every Friday through October, depending on weather, but they'll be up there.
Now, here's something, you know, I love backroads travel. Here's something I never heard about. Porch Fest. It's the first annual encore Porch Fest, Saturday, June 10th in Mount Morris.
Correct, sir.
So what's Porch Fest?
Well, it's a very free and interesting event where you cajole owners of very nice porches to host a band. And you get whatever kind of music to come on up and do a one-hour show on there. and people be selling food.
That's a great
and
idea.
Drinks, isn't it, though? Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to wrap that up with a concert on the band shell. From 1 to 5 will be porches. 15 different musical acts on 11 different porches this year.
For more information or to sign up, EncorePorchFest.info.
Mm-hmm.
For information about Encore Mount Morris, EncoreMountMorris.com. Wow, that's a really good idea. It says here, yeah, more than 60 other known porch fests in the U.S. and Canada.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then, in August, you take a little break, and then you do the U.S. National Straw Sculpting Competition.
Isn't that an exciting
thing? This is a great town, Kevin.
Yeah, you got to know it, so, right?
U.S. National Straw Sculpting Competition.
Yes, indeed.
And that goes, like, for a long time.
It goes, right. It covers 2 weeks. So they'll have their construction of the sculpting done, and then they will just be displayed up on the campus for that amount of time. And, you know, it's a very ag-related area, here we have an ag-related arts contest going on.
It's kind of like I'm looking at this picture of the Statue of Liberty. It's kind of like the Corn Palace, kind of the same idea, right?
A little bit, absolutely.
Home. Yeah, and strawusa.com. Is there music around that?
There's music around Mount Morris all the time, sir. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. It's such a vital part of our community. That's why Cable Concert Band every Wednesday through June, July, and into a little bit of August, and now the Mount Morris Jamboree every Friday from June to September. And, yes, the Porch Fest, more music. Jam Fest is coming September 23rd, more music still. So, yeah, it's just a very musical place. So, every Friday and Wednesday, people will be not only checking out the live bands, but wandering through straw sculptures.
That's great. That's really, really good. Deanne, have you spent much time in Mount Morris since you got involved in this project?
I have not spent much time in
Have you been there at all?
In Mount Morris. No, I have
I know
not.
A good cafe.
I've asked her to move there,
yeah.
Actually.
He did, yeah. We were fighting over Mount Morris versus Wheaton, DuPage County, and I'm in Elmhurst, so, you know.
Yeah. But you haven't been there at all?
I have not been there directly.
Well, you got to check it out. It's really... Now, tell us what
My husband's sitting there in the corner. I think he's actually plotting out the route for next week.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah. Yes, every Friday.
Well, you guys, I was told that it was like the third or fourth highest altitude. I asked, where's the mount? Where's the mount in Mount Morris?
The center of town. Now, Jeff seems to think it was where he was living, and I don't know. He probably had a telescope going on up there.
It's point of personal pride, that's all.
Sure, I understand. No, they put the old campus quad. You see, the Mount Morris College ran from 1840 to 1932, and the town was founded out of the middle of Wild Prairie, and I'm thinking they determined to put the college on the highest point there. So it's a really nice college quad with very cool old buildings, and old sandstone, one of the old college buildings, now houses the Encore Art Gallery on the first floor.
Yeah, Jerry Stauffer, he told me that, and I fact-checked it, and I couldn't believe it. According to my research, Mount Morris is 909 feet above sea level, while Galena, which you think might be, is 633 feet above sea level.
Yeah, we're in rarefied air up there.
Yeah, and I didn't know you're really not that far from the Mississippi River.
No, not at all. I think it's a 40-minute trip, something along those lines.
It's just a really – that's why I wanted to do this tonight. I mean, besides the We the People thing, it's just a really beautiful part of Illinois. That drive down 64 into Oregon, and I know you're not a suburb of Oregon, right?
No, it's the other way around, actually.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. No, Route 2 down along the Rock River is known as one of the most beautiful drives in the country, if not the world.
Yeah, it cannot be beat in the month of October.
Yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Terry Weil, I don't want to ignore you. I'm going to ask you a question before we wrap it up, and it'll be a lead question for the rest of the band. But I don't know if we got into this. How did all you guys get together?
Well, me and Bill, a friend of mine, we played together for years, and then we met Kevin and Dan and Larry, and we've been playing together. We used to have a place where we'd go on Wednesday nights and play.
Where was that at?
Up in town, one of the local taverns.
They host an open stage up there, right?
An open stage.
Yeah, Sharky says an open mic.
Meet up on Wednesday nights and play. And then we got together, and this next thing we knew, we started doing gigs together.
Wow.
Let you know, though, I'm from south of Mount Morris, just a little bit.
Where are you from?
Mississippi.
What part of Mississippi?
Central Mississippi. I usually have another answer from that. People go all the time, Where you from? Where you from, my mama and daddy?
That's good. That's good. So, I mean, is there country music? You guys do like roots rock and roll, but I would think there'd be bluegrass and country and stuff.
Well,
like
you know, the all kind of American roots sort of stuff. So that includes blues that you heard today. You know, since we're in Chicago, we're going to focus
on
that.
Jimmy Reed there, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, plenty of classic country. Most of the folks around appreciate country music the most. But, you know, bluegrass, huge bluegrass fans. So, you know, we cover a little bit of everything in Bootleg Flyers. You know, classic rock, American roots. So we got it all going on.
Let me ask you this, and we'll go wrap it up with We the People. Kevin, do you do, like, the Star Spangled, do you do that much, or do you do it just for us? Or what are the other occasions you would play the Star Spangled Banner?
I do that about once a year.
Do you really?
Yeah, but I think I might be doing it twice this year.
Really? Really?
Probably right around the fourth.
Are you a Hendrix fan? Or?
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all Hendrix fans.
Yeah.
He's my fave. Yeah.
Tell me the name of that band again. I just want to, I love it.
The Nuclear Mushroom?
Yeah. That's so great.
Oh, yeah. That got us all started. Rightio.
It's really, really good. And from that, we'll go, let's do one more thing on We the People. Tell us how people can find these important documents.
Yep. You can order these beautiful documents for yourself at wethepeopleprints.com. And you'll find them. We've got great purchase links, free shipping. You can get them within a couple of days right after you order them.
I mean, this is all, that's, you know, we gave an hour to Mount Morris, but this stuff about the, you know, that we're talking about, it's all about creating community, a sense of community and discovering community. And that's kind of what we want to do with Mount Morris tonight. So thank you all for making the effort to come down here. And
thank you for hosting us, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Everybody out there, come to Mount Morris. You're going to be happy you did.
Really, really. I'll be back. Now that I know I'm supposed to stay.
And hopefully Deanne's coming too.